The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's the start of the Eclipse meeting at Sandown. We've also got Doncaster and Warwick in the afternoon, and in the evening it's Beverley and Haydock domestically, and there's racing over in Ireland from Bellevue's Town as well. So six meetings to look forward to, plenty of action to look at. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm grand, thanks, Mark. Yep, looking forward to all the wonderful action we've got coming up.
Good, yes. The start of a good couple of days at Sandown, Craig. So we'll just start with a look ahead to some of Saturday's racing before we move on to the more pressing matters of Friday. And the big race is the Eclipse. And the Fugue has been favourite for a while for this race now. 9-4 at the top of the betting. Knight of Thunder is 7-2. 9-2 for Verrazano. Kingston Hill is 6-1. 8-1 for War Command. And 11-1 in double figure prices for the rest. A few interesting contenders in there. And if the Fugue turns up in similar form as she was last time after a long absence, do you see her winning this? Is the bounce factor a bit of a concern?
Not really, Mark. I think the main difference this time around compared to 12 months ago is that she's had a free run at things, you know, no injuries. She wasn't rushed into Royal Ascot as she was last year. And you've seen her slick performance in the Prince of Wales Stakes. But the key, of course, I think was the fast ground. The way she just floats over good fast ground is the key to this mare. And so I would keep an eye on the forecast. I believe there's to be some heavy rain arriving at Sandown late Friday night. So I think that to get through Friday's card okay, and then some rain arriving on Friday night. So I think the ground is more important than anything for the Fugue's chances.
Yeah, that same would apply to Kingston Hill, wouldn't it? Because if the rain does come, that enhances his chances somewhat.
Definitely, bringing stamina into play. You know, a very good second to Australia in the Derby. He swerved a race in Ireland because of the ground recently. And, you know, they'll be praying that that rain arrives on Friday night because, you know, if he can build on that second in the Derby, he has an excellent chance. And, you know, of the younger brigade, of the three-year-olds, he's the one I think could come out on top.
Yeah, 6-1 at the moment, Kingston Hill. If it does start to rain, I could see that price shortening a little bit as well. So I think it's a good time to back him and just hope that the rain comes, or would you sit and wait?
It could be. I personally would sit and wait. Yeah. I don't know if there's enough value to jump the gun and take the 6-1 and then sit and rain dance for the next 24 hours. Yeah. But I think I would rather just sit and wait. Another one to mention, Mark, that I can see going particularly well. I presume they'll return to more aggressive style of riding is Mukhtadram, who, of course, was third in the race last year. Mm-hmm. Didn't enjoy being held up when he finished behind the Fugue last time at Ascot. This horse just simply needs to be allowed his head and bowl along at the head of affairs. Stall 10 isn't ideal because Paul Hannigan's going to have to use up quite a bit in order to get to the front. And whether that tells late on, you know, could be crucial. But I think he'll run much better than he did, and he'll be a lot closer to the Fugue than what we saw at Ascot.
Yeah, and if he's allowed to just bowl out in front, we've seen he's quite hard to peg back in the past. And 12-1, you could see him staying in the frame, couldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, he's a horse that's handled soft ground as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it'll get really soft, but the firm and the good ground could be knocked off, or could be on the slow side of good, which would be ideal for the son of Sharmadal, who a previous winner on good soft ground.
Yeah. Anything else from the weekend before we move on to Friday, Craig?
There's not a lot I've looked at, to be honest. Obviously, I've been keeping an eye. We've just seen the final 11 declared for the Eclipse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the first real test where the younger brigade, the three-year-olds, take on their elders. And, you know, what a race to start that season, really. You know, the likes of Walker Man, True Story, a Derby second, taking on Prince of Wales winner. It's just a fantastic race where the younger generation meet their elders, and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be good. Let's focus on Friday's action then. The card at Sandown is where we're going to pay our attention. And the first race that Craig's picked out is the 2 o'clock, which is the first race on the card. And this is a Class 3 handicap over 5 furlongs for 3-year-olds and over. Tegula Knight will attract some attention, Craig. Seems to like it at Sandown. Won with Ryan Moore in the saddle last time as well. And up £6 here, do you think that will be enough to slow his progress, or do you see him coming again?
I think you've got to respect his chances, Mark. He's a horse, as you say, that absolutely loves Sandown. You know, but that was in a Class 4 handicap. Yeah. His performances when up to this company haven't been as good. You know, the in fact, nearly all of his victories have come in Class 4 or below. So as he rises in class, he's just come up a little bit short in the past in this company.
Okay, so do you take him on then?
Yeah, I think you've got to take him on. Obviously, do respect his chances. And he is very well drawn in stall 3 with Ryan Moore on board again. But I think you'll find one or two too good, hopefully, he says.
Yeah. Which ones are on your shortlist then, Craig?
Well, you know, one of the most important factors in big field sprint handicaps at Sandown is the draw, of course. Yeah. And, you know, tactical speed as well, because there's no point in having a good draw and being a hold-up horse because you then forfeit what was a good early position in the race. So you need a horse that has got a fairly low draw, that can race prominently away from trouble. And the horse here that fits the bill, Mark, is Andrew Bolton's horse, New Forest, who ran very well at Ayr on his latest start. He went a real good gallop in that race. He mixed off a frantic early pace with Bear Behind on that occasion, and he paid the price late in the race. He was carrying a big weight. Bear Behind did fantastic to stick on for second. He was just pegged back by Burning Thread in the closing stages, and he was a horse that, you know, was arriving at a bang in form. So I thought that was a decent race for the track. Dr. Parks finished fourth, but he's a horse that does need really fast ground to be at his best. He disappointed at Chester on soft ground, and he isn't well drawn in stall 12. So I think New Forest will definitely reverse that A form with Stuart Williams' charge.
Okay, on to the 2:30 next, the next race we're going to look at, the Dragon Stakes, which is a listed race for two-year-olds over 5 furlongs. We've got some Royal Ascot form on offer here with Muckmal and Snapshots, both coming out of the Norfolk. We've also got Union Rose, who ran in the Windsor Castle Stakes. Any of those on the shortlist here, Craig?
Yeah, definitely, Mark. You just need to look back. The last three winners of this race all ran reasonably well in the Norfolk. So, you know, that's a big pointer to the chances of Snapshots and Muckmal here. Mm-hmm. Two horses that I like. I think we'll start with Snapshots, who made a successful winning debut at Haydock on soft ground. That was a really impressive performance. And, you know, they went a good gallop early in that Norfolk. Snapshots was up there with Muckmal. And Snapshots, for me, seen the race out the stronger of the two. And he eventually went down, beaten 4 lengths by Richard Hannon horse. But, you know, that was a real good effort on just his second start. They both look progressive types, Snapshots and Muckmal. I think they're both the type of horses that will go on from 2 to 3. They look like they've got plenty size and substance to train on. You know, so I don't think their juvenile season is the be-all and end-all of their careers. I do think the horses that can go on again next year. But I think that they are the form lines here. And again, I fancy Snapshots to finish ahead of Muckmal, who had shown plenty speed prior to Ascot, winning at Musselburgh, and a really good performance it was at Chester from a bad draw when winning the Lily Agnes Stakes. So, yeah, do respect his chances, but I fancy Snapshots to come out on top. Of the rest, Beacon, he's been impressive. You know, on the eye, he's been impressive on his two victories at Salisbury and Bath. But I don't think he's beaten a lot. In particular, the Salisbury Maiden hasn't worked out at all, Mark. Mm. So I still think this question mark's over Beacon. So pass him over. Union Rose, you know, found a huge improvement in form to finish second in the Windsor Castle Stakes at Ascot. Whether, you know, you take that form at face value, then obviously he's got a big chance. But that could have been a one-off. You know, it was way above anything achieved in his previous 5 run-ins. So I have to say, I think, you know, I wouldn't be a great believer in the bare form of his most recent second. And of the Richard Hannon horses, I wouldn't totally discount the bottom one, Dame Liberty, who was impressive at Sandown on debut. She's a big leggy filly. She may need more time in this kind of company, but there was a lot to like about the way she finished off a race and sprinted clear of Russian Heroine on that occasion. You know, again, she looks a type that will do a lot better as a 3-year-old, but I wouldn't discount her. But it's a real good juvenile heat to look forward to. I'm going to go with Tom Daskin and Snapshots.
Okay, Snapshots, the selection in the Dragon Stakes. Then on to the other listed race on the card, the Gala Stakes, which is for three-year-olds and over a mile and a quarter. And seven of them in the lineup here, Craig. Which ones do you like?
The Godolphin have a strong hand here for me, Mark. We've got Thahir, ridden by Andrea Zeni, and Windhawk, ridden by Kieran Fallon. I'm going to concentrate on the latter of those two, Windhawk, who, you know, since coming back from Maidan, has ran on three occasions and you know, produced good performances on each run. He finished a very good second in the Winter Derby at Lingfield on his first start back from Dubai. He then went to Goodwood when conditions would have been against them, really. You know, I think the official description was good to soft, but it was a lot softer than that at Goodwood. And, you know, he did well to finish a close second to his stable companion, French Navy. Then went on to Epsom to contest the Group 3, and for me, just didn't handle the track. Again, you know, I did fancy him to reverse Goodwood form with French Navy on that occasion on a faster ground. But French Navy handled the conditions and the track very well. He came through with a storming late run up the inside where Windhawk was hanging all over the track on the outside. He looked in no man's land in the middle of the track on that occasion. So I think he's worth another chance on a track like Sandown that should suit. But again, you know, Educate is a horse to be worried about. Last year's Cambridgeshire winner who... you have to say it was a little bit disappointing out in Maidan in January, February time. But, you know, I think coming stepping up basically from Handicap Company into a listed race shouldn't prove too much of a problem. What we've seen of him last year, he was a real progressive handicapper. He's now officially rated 112. So, you know, handicaps are now a thing of the past. I think he's one to respect. But I'll go with Kieran Fallon and Saeed Bin Sarua, Windhook.
Okay, Windhook in the 3.35. Then let's just have a quick summary, Craig, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, we're going to start with a competitive 5-furlong sprint at 2 o'clock where the selection is New Forest. In the 2.30, a really good listed race over 5 furlongs. And the selection here is Snapshots for Tom Daskin. And finally, in the 3.35, we're going for Windhook for Team Godolphin.
Okay, good stuff, Craig. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's racing at Sandown. He'll be in the studio with Sean Quinn and Gareth Topham, and they'll be live from 1:50 p.m. We have this card at Sandown. There's also Doncaster and Warwick in the afternoon, and Beverley and Haydock in the evening. Domestically, we also have Irish racing from Bellevuestown, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.